We are created for listening. That is why we have two ears. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California. We are created for listening. That's why we have two ears. What is the greatest compliment you can ever give to another person? To listen to them. What is the greatest compliment you can give to a person who is sick, or a person who has problems, or a person who is in dire distress, whose life has just come to an end because their boyfriend or girlfriend left them, or, you know, some major calamity that takes place? What's the most wonderful thing a parent can ever do to a child, or a friend can ever do to another friend? And that is to listen. Not giving advice, but to listen. And not to shake your head yes as though, I know it all, you silly goose, you know. That doesn't make anybody feel good either. But to sit there and listen with an intelligent look on your face and keep your eyes open, you know, let them know that you're not sleeping, and that you really care, and say, and just, you're interested, you're knowledgeable, you're aware of what they're doing. You're listening. Now, some people listen with their eyes closed. That's very distracting. Some people listen with their eyes open, and that's very distracting too. It all depends on what they're listening to. You know, their eyes have that startled expression in them, and it's much to say, my God, tell me that story again. But we are created for listening. A good friend is not a good friend because he tells his friend what to do, but because he listens. And then the friend will say, and this would happen, and this would happen, and this would happen, and this would happen. And the friend just listens and nods and says, ah so. And then when the friend is done talking, the other friend says, well, what do you want to do about it? Now, this is what you should do about it. What do you want to do about it? And the other guy says, I have no idea. Okay, let's go have a beer. You know, change the subject. Let it be. You're not asked to give an opinion. You're just asked to listen. And if people could learn to listen without judging, they could learn to listen without feeling they need to add some advice, you know. Well, I think you should do this right now. I think you should go and kick her in the pants. You should go and, no, sure you should, you know. You should go and count to 10, too, you know. But the thing is, we're built for listening. When the little child comes running in the house and hollers at his mommy and says, Mommy, Mommy, everything's going wrong. And mommy says, come on, let's have some popcorn. Let's have some ice cream and let's talk this over. You know, change the intensity of the subject. If the subject were really terrible, like there's someone injured in the front of the house, you dash out and do something about it. But if it's just an emotion that is getting a little out of line, you bring balance back into the thinking by saying, let's have a cup of tea or some ice cream or some coffee or something, depending upon who's giving you the pitch. And you don't offer any advice. This is the hardest thing for a human being with another human being, because they came to me because they wanted my advice. They did not. They came to you because they wanted a sympathetic ear who would listen to them and not judge them. Who would listen to them and not offer any suggestions or not even have any suggestions to offer. That is a really big one, not even have any suggestions to offer. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just all flustered. I don't know what to do. And I got to talk to you because you're my friend. And you, I don't know what to do. What seems to be the problem? I just won $12 million. Now, what do I do? And you say, well, you can thank your lucky stars. You can be very happy. But now everybody's going to come to me and want me money and want this and that and the other thing. I said, well, how do you think you could stop them from doing that? You know, this is how you stop them. No, you don't say that. How do you think that you could stop people from coming and doing it? Well, very simple. You put your money in a special fund that cannot be touched until you have had, say, 6 months or a year to mellow in the fact that you got it. excuse me. And then in the process of 6 months or a year of having that money into the bank or any other place, even with a couple percent that the bank earns, you know, my goodness, that money would grow tremendously. And then by that time, since you can't touch it, you're going to think of ways to spend it or ways to manage it. And so you'd say, well, what I'm going to do, I would like to live a life free of any concern, money-wise. And I'd like to have a nice money coming in. Now, this money would be enough for me to live on forever. But now if I invest it, it would be enough for me to live on forever, plus to have a lot of fun with it. Plus to have, you know, like $100,000, $500,000, $1 million every year to spend. Wow! $1 million every year. But you see, when you have to wait and think about it for a little while, your idea, your mind goes through a million ideas. It goes through a jillion possibilities. And then finally it settles down and says, hey, it's only money. It's only money. Now, I'm not going to take it and give it to mama and give it to my brothers and sisters and give it to the family because I love them. No, I may take a token and give them each $100,000 or something, you know, which is rather nice. And then I'm going to invest this because I don't have to give it away. I can keep it myself. Now, do I have some charities? Well, let the charities wait for a minute. Let the charities wait until I first establish what I want to do with the money to make it, have it make money. If I'm going to give it all away right away, then I can't be helpful to the charities. But if I take a certain percentage of my income from my money and I give it to a charity, well, then that's great. That's rather nice. But still, the money is working and building interest and building things for me. And what the heck, now that I've thought about it for 6 months or a year before I could use it, I'm beginning to think very wisely. I'm beginning to think like a wealthy person. However, if I had the money right away, I would give it away to mama, a couple million, to brothers, a couple million, and then before you know it, I've only got a couple million left. And a couple million is a couple million, but that doesn't last very long if I want to go buy a $1 million house. But you see, having to sit and wait for a moment, having to listen within. You see, we are created for listening. That's why we have two ears. And we are created for listening within. That's why we have judgment, and that's why we have the ability to be peaceful and quiet and to sit down and just do whatever it is that we can do. Now, how do you learn to listen within? We've all been pushing that idea around for a long time. But how do you learn to listen within? Well, what you do is you take your money and you put it on hold for a year. Then you listen within because you can't touch it. You know that you're a millionaire, but you can't touch it. You know you got all this money, but you can't touch it. So then you begin to meditate on what you would do with it. And you see, when you start meditating on what you can do with it, then your inner wisdom comes into play. Your inner judgment comes into play, and your inner guidance comes into play. And you may have kept out $1 million, you know, just to play with. But the thing is, you put the rest of it on hold just to make sure that you had a chance. Now, we had a friend, Georgiana, and Georgiana had been married for quite a time. And her husband died, leaving her a number of $1 million. And Georgiana said, I want to give that money all to the church, all to the school. And we said, Georgiana, don't think like that. You take all that money and you put it in a trust fund for yourself. And after a year or two, you do whatever you want to with it. But give yourself time to get over the death of your husband and get over the fact that you're a wealthy woman now, and so forth and so on. Well, we haven't heard from Georgiana. I have a feeling that her children helped her to spend the money, but that's her business. We had no ulterior motive in our heart to have that money. We don't want anybody's money unless that is their real desire to give it. And so Georgiana contacted us 3 or 4 times in the meantime, and she said, I'm in trouble. I don't know what to do. And I said, come here. We'll talk with you. We'll visit with you and see what we can do to help you. And, oh, now I got another problem. You know, each time she'd call, she had a problem. But she never came because she probably felt guilty that she didn't listen to us, put the money away until she had a chance to think about it. But she let her children talk her into spending it and using it, and just because it was there. And perhaps now she has none, and so she would come to us empty-handed, and she'd say, after I promised to give it to you, I have nothing now. Can I come and work with you? And we'd say, of course. And so she'd come and she'd work with us. But you see, the big thing about this is we're created for listening. And when lovely things come into our life, we should listen as people offer us suggestions that have no ulterior motive in it for them. If somebody says, yes, I will take care of it for you, run. Because you don't want somebody to come and take care of your valuables and your good for you. You want the bank to do that. You want some organization that has no ulterior motive in it, although you wonder after reading all the news reports of these big companies. But nonetheless, let's just believe in this world we live in and believe in our ability to listen, our ability to use our two ears to hear what is for our highest good. And I will proclaim always, if any of us ever have a problem, if we will take that problem and go in silence, we will come out of the silence with a solution. Because within each one of us is the greatest wisdom that ever existed. Within each one of us is the greatest guidance that you could ever have. Within each one of us is the answer that we are searching for. So I say, listen to the divine within you. Listen with your two ears to the world around you. And as long as the world around you is telling you, be yourself and have fun, then you know it's right. But if the world around you says, from the sound of music, I am 16 going on 17, and I will teach you all about life, run. Because that's puppy love, and that can only lead to disaster. And the disaster is not necessarily sex and children and those things. That sometimes happens too. But the disaster is changed minds. Because young people change their minds very rapidly from one day to the next, from one hour to the next, from one month to the next. And whereas today they're madly in love with someone, tomorrow they break up and their world has come to an utter end. And everything is just beyond repair. And then another face comes into the picture, and you say, well, dear, you were so sad yesterday. But that's before I met Joe. That's before I met Mary. And the puppy loves, they come and go very quickly. But we listen within. Even when we are youngsters, we listen within, because the answer is there. We have the depth of maturity within us if we'll just listen to it. But it's a matter of training ourselves to do that. So I suggest each one of us train to listen within. Before you sit down with any project, say, okay, I know.
That I know God in me is the answer.
Click, click. I know God in me is the answer. And before you sit down to do anything, you say, I am guided by the divine within me to do that which is for my highest and best. You don't say to do that which is for the highest and best for the organization, to do that which is the highest and best for the job I'm going to do, but it's going to be to do the highest and best for me. Because you're the only one that counts. You're the only one that makes any difference. So you say, I do the highest and best for me. Now Ellen is going to go visiting her grandchildren in Switzerland in the first week of May. And as she goes there, she's going to greet all of her old friends and all of her grandchildren and her children, and she's just going to have a wonderful couple of days there. She's going to go for the communion of her grandson. He is going to be, it's like in the bar mitzvah for the Jews, this is communion for the Christians. Okay, now, as she goes there, she should certainly take a few diamond rings along and gold necklaces and things like that for the kid, because this is a special time. Or she could take herself and say, Giacomo, I have brought you the most treasured gift that I know of in the world, me. And I've come to spend a few hours with you to tell you how much I love you and how much I realize you are a fabulous guy. Now, Giacomo might have these rings and things to amuse him, but every moment of his life and every day of his life, he will have the memory of his grandmother saying, I believe in you. Go for it. And what do you think will be what he thinks about most? You betcha.
So, number one, Ma.
Himself. Himself. You have to be careful when you say number one, because I'm thinking of you. But you see, he's learning that he's number one, and he's great, and he's beautiful. But she will also teach him, I'm sure, that he should listen within. And that's why he's got two ears. I don't need two ears to listen within. It's a symbol. It's a concept. It's an icon. It merely means just get between those ears and listen. And those ears are yours. We are created for listening. That's why we have two ears. And we are pretty wonderful, aren't we? I love you. I love you. I love you. And have a wonderful day.